word is a blessing coming from any direction. Wouldn't you agree? There's so many things that brings discomfort and depression and all kind of other negative things. If we can get and gain comfort from anybody, it's a blessing. But the church ought to be known as a place where we can find comfort in the Lord, and not only in the Lord, but in the Lord's Word. How many times do you open God's Word and just seek God's truth to find comfort? And well, I'm telling you, if you don't, you are missing a great opportunity. There's so much comfort that comes from the Word of God. And then ain't you glad for the Holy Ghost of God, who is our comforter? And no greater comfort can we find than that of the Holy Ghost. But with Him living in us and having the Word of God as well, as Christians, brothers and sisters, if there's anybody on planet Earth that ought to be able to comfort one another, it should be us who have the truth. We're not facing a world without hope. We're not of most men miserable. We have the blessed hope of knowing that this world is as bad as we'll ever have to experience. And to be honest, we've got it pretty good. Even in this wicked world, we've got it pretty good. God's been so gracious and so good to us. But there's times, as you all know, that we go through times of heartache and hardship, and we need comforting. And boy, our church ought to be a place that we come to, and not just us, but others. When strangers come in, this ought to be a place that they automatically feel loved and comforted, because that's what Jesus done for people. Absolute strangers, He would give comfort to them and bring comfort to their different situations and heartaches that they would find. But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, look in verse 1 if you will. In the time we've got remaining, we're going to try our best to get through this. I'm going to skip the first point because Jackie already has talked through that and left me too. And I heard him in the message. I went back and listened to it today again. And he said, Brother Michael, we'll get through the next two before Christmas, which was one service left, and he knows better. I didn't even get an opportunity to try, but I doubt having been given an opportunity, I would have been able to do it, but we'll try our best tonight. Verse 1, the Bible said, "But of the times and season, and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God," listen to this verse, "for God hath not appointed us to wrath." Boy, aren't you glad for that? Does that bring comfort to your heart? I mean, this world is on a direct collision course with the absolute fury and anger of God. The terror of the Lord, the day of the Lord is coming. And this world is on direct collision course with the judgment of God. But He said to us who are of the day, to us who are saved, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep," in other words, whether we're still living or we're already dead and in the grave, our bodies, we should live together with him. Wherefore, because of all that I just said, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now that is a broad spectrum from one end of the spectrum of absolute darkness and terror and tribulation and what is coming for this world. I mean, it's absolutely horrifying to think of what is coming to this world. And it's only going to get worse after that. I mean, you think about it right now when men who are lost without God, they die in their sin. How tragic, how awful is that? For them to be cast into hell when they die, that is awful as you can imagine. But then hell ain't as bad as it gets. Because God said that those that are in hell, every man and every woman, every boy and every girl that's went to hell, God's going to bring them up out of hell, and God's going to bring them to the great white throne judgment, and God's going to judge them, and then God's going to take all of hell and cast hell and all of those who were in it into the lake of fire forever. But when Jesus comes, that's the dark end of the spectrum, but to those of us who he hadn't appointed to wrath, for those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, by the Lord Jesus, that's not our future. Amen. Thank the Lord, that ain't our future. We don't even have to go to bed tonight. I remember being a child, worried to death, biting my fingers to the quick, and even getting up tiptoeing through the night and opening my brother's door and saying, well, that maybe they wasn't saved either, and thinking the rapture had happened, and then opening my mama's door. I really thought she was saved, and I'd peek through there, and there she'd be, and I'd say, whew, Jesus hadn't come. Because I believe the Bible. You know, believing the Bible don't get you into heaven. Believing in Jesus don't get you to heaven. The Bible said the devils believe and tremble. Amen. And so, God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us a way out. And I'm here to tell you, that brings great comfort to my heart. Don't it yours? To know that you'll never have to face your sin. You'll never have to face the payment for your sin. What is the payment of sin? The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see the spectrum from darkness to light, from absolute judgment and terror and wrath to the glory and heaven forever? I mean, absolute jubilation, restoration. I mean, a glorified body to live forever in a perfect body. No more heartache, no more sadness, no more cancer, no more funerals. Heaven is going to be worth every mile that we've traveled down here. And I thank God for that. And they, some preachers, it's got mixed up in their doctrine, mixed up in their Bible reading and Bible study and their teaching. You know, there's three different avenues and angles that preachers and teachers and people believe on this thing called the tribulation. And that's pre-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, that's after the 3.5 years, then the rapture takes place, and then the post-tribulation rapture. And you'll be amazed at how many people that you probably know who believe that we will have to go through the tribulation. God forbid. Did they not read the verse I just read? God, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. And they'll even go back to the Old Testament and say, see, even Noah had to go through the flood. Noah had to go. I mean, God will protect us and God will give us grace because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah had to go through the flood. And so you see, we are, as the church, we're going to have to go through the tribulation. They forget one thing. Noah wasn't a picture of the church. The ark wasn't a picture of the church. Who was that man that came before Noah who walked with God and was not, for God translated Enoch. He was walking one day until he walked in the arms of God. That's what's going to happen to me and you. We're going to be caught up together with the Lord to meet him in there. Amen. Amen. So, that's the contrast. But there's all kind of things that we as Christians have to deal with in this life. Brother Jackie did a tremendous job dealing with the believer's conviction, talking about the imminent return of the Lord. And it is imminent. Jesus could come before I get done preaching. I'm not going to try to reteach what he's already dealt. And then he talked about the empty promises of world power, how they'll say, and you're hearing this right now on the news if you're watching, peace, peace. They're crying for peace in the Middle East. They're crying for world peace. But I'm here to tell you, there will be no peace. There will be no lasting peace here on this world until Jesus brings it. The Prince of Peace. When he comes and he sets his foot down on the Mount of Olives, he will bring peace. But not until then. And so, we'll pick up tonight. Brother Jackie got through the first. We're going to look at the believer's, not only the believer's conviction, but then the believer's caution. The believer's caution. What do you mean by that? Well, the believer's caution, the Bible is clear that believers will not be part of the coming destruction. Now that's worth shouting over. That's what I just spent 5 or 10 minutes talking about, how we ought to rejoice that we're not going to be part of what's to come. However, we must caution ourselves as God did in these verses and reminded us and warned us to wake up and to pay attention, that it's no time to get sleepy. It's no time to kick back and relax. No, the Bible said direct opposite. God tells the church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3:10 that because they have kept his word, he will preserve them from the wrath to come. Listen, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So while we as believers are spared from the wrath to come, we need to be ready for his return. Paul, I was talking to a man today, one of the people who come to our church. They're not members yet, but they're soon going to be. And God's doing some big things, I'm here to tell you. I can't tell you, I can't let the secret out yet, but I'm telling you, God's doing some big things behind the scenes. And you soon to find out about it. I mean big things. It's wonderful. And this man called me today and he said, preacher, and he broke down, he was crying. He said, preacher, I just got to tell you, and he started in talking. And I said, listen, God hadn't appointed us in the right. I didn't even realize I was teaching on this tonight. And we got to talking about things, and it was exactly everything that I was going to be teaching on tonight. And I said, praise the Lord. And I got my book out, and I got to studying and looking. And I said to him, I said, listen, we're living in the last days. There ain't no time to put things off. If you ever going to live for God, it's time to get things right and do it now. I mean, listen, quit putting off and saying, I got all this time and down the road sometime. No, we are to live circumspectly. We are to live, day by day, moment by moment, with our eyes wide open, being sober and being vigilant, knowing that the return of Christ is coming. And coming soon. We're to be awake. We're to be awake. And so, while as believers we're spared from the wrath to come, we need to be ready for the return of God. God tells us of his imminent return partly to give us comfort and partly to caution us to live circumspectly so that we will be prepared for his return. Did not the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever to walk in shoe leather outside of who Jesus said was the greatest ever? I can't argue with Jesus. Jesus said John was. But Paul has to be right behind him. And you know what the Apostle Paul said when it came to the subject of the coming of the Lord? Brother Ned, Paul said, I tremble at His coming. I tremble. If Paul could make a statement like that, I mean, the Apostle Paul trembles because he ain't lived up to the Christian life like he thought he should, and he hadn't done all that he felt he could have and should have. Where does that leave us? I'm saying we ain't got time to play around. God's coming. If you're ever going to do something for God, if you're ever going to make a mark for God, if you're ever going to get your prayers in for your family, if you're ever going to wake up and win those that you love and make a mark and lay up treasures in heaven, do it now while there's time, because He's coming. He's coming. So He's telling us, the believer's caution is, number one, be awake. We live in a state of ease in America. And every one of us better say amen to that. We like it. I like it. Matter of fact, I love it. I like a recliner chair. When I've worked all day and my bones are aching and my muscles are hurting and I like to sit down in a comfortable recliner chair. I like to get in a comfortable bed. I thank God we don't still sleep on rocks and on the ground. The other morning I went to eat breakfast and it was about 18 degrees, and there laid a homeless man right outside the door of the restaurant I went in to eat, and he sprawled out, I mean laid out with his head and just nothing, no cover, no pillow, nothing. 17, 18 degrees, laying on the sidewalk asleep. Boy, that broke my heart. But then I also thought, how good do I have it? And I listen to me. I went and talked to that man. I told that man, hey, listen, God's got more for you in life than what you're living. There's a man named Jesus that loves you. And listen, but for the grace of God, that could be me and that could be you. But God, look at you. You sitting on padded pews in a climate-controlled room. I mean, God's blessed us beyond measure. God's been good to us to the point that when you get too comfortable, it's easy to nod off. I'll sit in that recliner, Brother Jimmy, and sometimes my wife will say, let's watch this show, or let's watch this. And I'll say, okay, good, cut it off. And if I sit too still for too long in that comfortable recliner, she can't hear the TV because I'm sawing logs. That's right. She told me I sounded like a weed eater this morning when I was snoring so bad last night. She said, you sound like a weed eater all night last night. I couldn't sleep. God's telling us and warning us, wake up. In verses 6 and 7, God instructs us to remain alert. The word sleep in verse 6 means to drop, listen to this, to drop off to sleep. Now, when Jenny says, hey, baby, let's watch a show, I say, yeah, and I've got full intentions of watching it. And I don't intend to fall asleep. If she ever talks me into going to a movie theater and pushes and presses and begs and I give in and go, it's dark in there. It's dark like my bedroom at night. And that chair is so comfortable and they made it where it leans back. It's made for sleeping, not watching movies. I can't make it through one. I'll be sleeping. I'm saying, verse 6, that word sleep means to drop off to sleep, meaning you didn't mean to. You didn't set out to take a nap. You just drifted into it. And boy, what a warning from God to us in this day and hour we're living. We have it so comfortable that it's easy just to slip off into a nap. It's easy just to slip off, not be aware of our surroundings. Believers are instructed to watch, to be vigilant, to keep awake for the Lord's return. Do you know, hey, let me ask you this, and don't lie, God's looking and God's listening. God knows. But have you looked for Him today? I'm talking about Him to come in the clouds. Has anybody looked up today? Now, we Christians, But I'll tell you the truth. I ain't looked up today and thought, Lord, you coming today? Could you come today? Could this be the day? I ain't done it today to my shame. But if I was to ask you to raise your hands, I doubt there'd be too many hands. You know what the Bible says about the day and hour we're living in? When He is coming, it'll be in an hour where no man is looking. In an hour when you think not, so shall the Son of Man come. I'm simply saying we need to be awake because Jesus is coming. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. There's people all around us that don't have knowledge of God. They don't have the gospel. They've never known the pardoning power of Jesus. They never experienced what true redemption is. And he said, I speak this to your shame. You sleeping on the job. What was the last job Jesus gave us? The Great Commission. He said, my last words to you, if I can leave you with anything, if you miss everything, get this. While I'm gone, I commission you. Go and preach the gospel to the world. I guarantee you we spend more time sleeping than we do soul winning. And God's saying, you better caution and awake. God calls on us to awake to righteousness and be alert, be ready for His coming. We need to redeem the time, live for Christ, and share with others the gospel. In South Korea, you know this, between South Korea and North Korea, there's that zone where no president had ever went. President Trump, on his last time being president, he went into that zone, But South Korea is a country that is highly vigilant and prepared for emergencies. At any moment, a war with North Korea could happen. For this reason, South Korea lives in a state of constant vigilance and are used to observing curfews, participating in emergency procedures, drills in their schools. Their students prepare for emergencies with evacuation drills. Some of you are old enough to remember the Russians going to shoot bombs. Brother Jackie, you was that old, wasn't you? Methuselah? No. The Cold War, that's right. John F. Kennedy, I wasn't alive, but these old people like Brother Jackie, older people like Brother Jackie, what would they tell y'all to do? Get under your desk and put a book over your head? That's what they told us for tornadoes. I don't think it'd work too good for either one. A nuclear bomb or a tornado, I don't think a book's going to save you. I doubt the desk is going to help much. But do y'all remember going through them drills? And it was serious. People really feared that nuclear warfare could happen at any time. We've had it so good so long, we hardly ever think about a nuclear bomb flying toward our way. But I'm here to tell you, it could happen. We are closer to nuclear war than we have ever been. The nuclear bombs of today makes those at Hiroshima, listen to me, look like firecrackers. Nagasaki, that was nothing compared to the bombs that they have today. And all it takes is for one side to misread the other and they start flying. And I'm talking about absolute catastrophe. I'm saying we ought to be vigilant. There ain't never going to be no nuclear bombs flying. Maybe. Maybe not. But I'll tell you what, I can guarantee you is going to happen. Jesus is coming. That ain't up for discussion. That ain't a maybe. That ain't something you can set probabilities for and against. No, I promise you, it's 100% He's coming. And when He does, so many people that we love and that we should have been awake for, we should have been alert for, we should have been trying to rescue the perishing while we could, we slept. God cautions us, don't do that. While there's still day, sow the seed. While there's still time, awake to righteousness. Not only are we called to be alert, but we also are called to be, to remain temperate. Verse 6 said, let us be sober, which means to be temperate, circumspect, calm, and collected. I don't think we should run around all the time like trying to scare people. Jesus is coming. Yeah, Jesus is coming today and setting dates and doing this. No, that's erratic, and that's emotionalism, and that's not good. We ought to be stable, but we ought to be serious and steadfast in our doctrine and in our preaching so that people don't think we're a bunch of kooks, because we ain't. But we ought to be able to look people and tell them honestly and strongly and convincingly that Jesus Christ is coming. Period. And He told us in verse 6, be sober, be temperate, be circumspect. When someone is drunk, he's not paying attention, he's unaware of his surroundings. As Christians, we need to be focused, watchful, ready, and awake for Christ's return. Not slumbering around and staggering around and busy about our own things. But I'm telling you, just to bring this point to a close. You want me to do that? If you knew Jesus was coming before 12 o'clock midnight, how you think things would change in your life? I guarantee you they'd be different than they was last night. I don't care how good of a Christian you may think you are. I don't care how good of a Christian you may think anybody is. I promise you, if we knew Jesus was coming in less than 4 hours, everything about our life would change immediately. And the fact is, He is coming, and we don't know when, so we should live in the light that He's coming, and we don't know when, so we should live that way. Because He told us over and over and over, I'm coming. The last book of your Bible, the last chapter of your Bible, Jesus said 3 times, behold, I come quickly. Listen to Mark 13:34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded to the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. We need to examine our lives to see if we're truly living in the light of Christ's return. If we have an unsaved friend, we should tell them. If we have an unsaved family member, we should share Christ with them. I promise you, you don't want the next time you see them to be at the great white throne judgment when we're on this side and they're coming by facing God and we're there as witnesses and their blood are on our hands. Tell them now. God, help us to tell them now. So he warns us and cautions us to be awake. Then he cautions us to prepare. The most important thing we need to be sure of before Christ's return is our salvation. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Well, praise God. Ain't that a blessing to know that you know? Amen. You better know. Eternity's too long to be wrong about that. You can be mixed up on a lot of stuff in the Bible. We can disagree on a lot of stuff in the Bible, and I do with a lot of people and still love them. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't afford to be wrong about your salvation.
That's right.
You say, well, I prayed a prayer when I was young, and I know, I asked Jesus to save me. Do you know how many people's in hell that asked Jesus to save them? The Bible said, search the Scriptures to see if you be found in the household of faith. In other words, if your life don't line up with Bible salvation, I would look into it. It's worth looking into. Because you can't be wrong about this. Search the Scripture to see if you be found in the household of faith. Prepare. If you're not saved, you are not prepared for His coming. Verse 8 instructs believers not only to be sober, but also put on the hope of salvation. Our preparation for Christ's return involves putting on the breastplate of His righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6, 14 and 17, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice verse 8 of our text says to put on for an helmet the hope of salvation. This hope means a confident expectation, not maybe, I hope so, possibly. No, it's an expectation. It's a hope of an absolute, the blessed hope that you absolutely know that you pass from death unto life. Do you know that? I know it's Wednesday night, but I got saved on a Wednesday night. I was a church member, lost on a Wednesday night, just like this. And thank God Jesus saved people on Wednesdays. Amen. My goodness, our time is gone. Brother Jackie, finally, the believer's conviction, the believer's caution, and then the believer's comfort. We're preserved from wrath. I dealt with that. Verse 9 tells us God hath not appointed us to wrath. The word appointed means He has not placed or fixed, established, or ordained us unto wrath. God has not ordained that we should go through His wrath or judgment in the future. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we are given the assurance that Christ has delivered us from the impending wrath that is to come. We're preserved from wrath, and we are promised eternity with Him. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 said, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Not just hell, but the tribulation. I don't know how long it's been since you've heard the tribulation preached on, but you better thank God in heaven that you ain't going through the tribulation. I'm glad I ain't going to hell, but I'm telling you, I am thankful God hath not appointed us unto wrath to have to go through the tribulation. I'll be preaching about a message soon on the tribulation, the great tribulation. And I'm telling you, it'll keep you up at night to think some of your family members are going to have to go through that. But it'll also comfort your heart to let you know that you don't have to go through that. To God be the glory. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take Your word. Help us, Lord, to awake. Help us to receive the caution that You give us, Lord. God, help us and shake us up and awake us, arouse us, Lord, to the fact of how many people we're around every day that don't know You, that are facing the wrath of God to come, that the condemnation of God already is upon them. Lord, help us to be busy about Your business. But, oh God, help us to take comfort, the greatest of all comforts in knowing, oh God, we'll never have to experience the wrath of hell in the lake of fire. We'll never have to experience the wrath of the tribulation and the great tribulation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you loved us enough to spare us from the wrath of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. Shake hands. Go get your youngins if you got them over there.